Thank you, Brother James. We very much appreciate the song service, and we thoroughly enjoyed hearing the saints of God blend their voices together in praise of the Lord. I'm very thankful for the prayer that's been offered by our brother in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would ask that each one of you would pray for us during this time that we look into God's holy word. If you have your Bible with you this evening, and you'd like to read along with us, please turn with me to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. I'd like to read all 9 verses of this psalm, and if God would be our helper, I'd like for us to consider the reasons we should be glad to be able to go to the house of God and worship the Lord. Psalms 122, by inspiration of Spirit, David, the penman, of course, we believe God to be the author. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in to the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. I'm very thankful just to be able to read this psalm. I think there in Revelation chapter 1, it teaches us, blessed is he that readeth the testimony of this prophecy. And I feel blessed just to be able to read this, that my heart would be encouraged concerning these principles and these truths that David gives us about his happiness and gladness to be able to go into the house of the Lord. I don't know how many of you have studied through Psalm 120 through Psalm 130. Psalm 134, but if you'll notice, each one of those has a title that says a song of degrees. Several years ago, I backed up and just looked at these psalms in different light than I had before, and I looked at them as kind of a staircase that would take someone from the low ground there in the valleys around Jerusalem all the way up to the house of God that was there in Jerusalem. And I looked at it as psalms that they would sing as they journeyed upward, and as they took more steps in getting closer to the house of God, how each psalm would mean something to them. You know, if you go to Psalm 120, which would be the psalm that I used as their beginning of their journey there from the valley, you'll notice there's a lot said about the surroundings and where they live. And woe is me that I sojourn and am sick and dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. See, that's a man that's living down in the low valleys that sees the sin and ungodliness of this world, but his eyes is fixed upward. And he'll take steps going forward and steps going forward, going up to the house of God. And finally, you'll notice in Psalm 133 and Psalm 134, blessed, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. See, he's getting really close there to being in the house of God. And finally, in Psalm 134, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Notice in the house of the Lord. So the journey there is complete from the valleys around Jerusalem all the way up there to the house of God in Jerusalem. And when I backed up and looked at those psalms in that light, it was just a wonderful blessing to me as I think about, you know, my week and my journey and my week going from being out in the world, and as Brother James said, just having an opportunity to be separated from the world and to be in the house of the Lord. Here in Psalm 122, the writer makes reference to his gladness to be in the house of the Lord. Of course, he's several steps away from Psalm 134, but he's already happy about that opportunity he has had to be in the house of the Lord and his expectation of being there again in his near future. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Notice he didn't say I was sad. He didn't say I was mad. He said, I'm glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, the New Testament, we read about individuals who, in the presence of the Lord, they got mad, they got angry. You remember there in Luke chapter 4, verse 28, after Jesus told the miracle of Naaman, after he told the miracle there with the woman of Sarepta, they got angry. They wanted to cast Jesus headlong down a hill. This man that writes this, he's not mad about being in the presence of God in the house of the Lord. He's glad about being there in the presence of God in his house. He's not sad. You know, some people get sad because their mind is so wrapped around the things of this world. When our mind is consumed with carnal things and the things of this world, you know, separating to be with the Lord and fellowship with him can cause a sadness to be on individuals. And yes, that happens to children of God. Children of God. I heard a story once about a woman that had a son, and she was very sick and couldn't go to church on Sunday. So she sent her son anyway to go to church. And he came home, and mom said, "Well, how'd you like church today?" And he said, "Well," he said, "the preacher seems to love God a lot." That's about all I can say, Mama. He wasn't really happy. He was kind of sad about going to the house of the Lord. This writer, he says, I'm glad. And we have reasons to be glad and happy about the opportunity and the expectation, the time that we are able to enter into the house of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, tonight, are you happy to have that opportunity, that privilege to go to the house of the Lord and worship him in spirit and in truth? I can say by experience, there's times in my life and times past that I wasn't blessed to have the fellowship with the Lord in the truth that I have at the present time in the house of God. And I'm thankful for that privilege and that opportunity that I have to be there on Sunday morning, to be able to gather with you here on Wednesday evening. And David here from verse 2 through verse 9, he gives us multiple reasons, and I'm not going to have enough time tonight to cover all of them, but maybe the Lord bless us just to look at a few. In verse 2, he says, "Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." You know, that verse is at first glance, it seems really strange that verse would read that way right after being glad to go into the house of the Lord. But when we ponder about that and then the standing that we have in the house of God, we can see how those verses perfectly blend together. Do you know, it's at the house of the Lord where the gospel is preached. It's where I first heard about my standing before the Lord. And it was there that I was blessed with the help of the Holy Spirit to see my standing before the Lord. Do you know, that's exactly what justification by faith is. Justification by faith is when the born-again child of God is able to use his eye of faith to see his standing before the Father by the work, the atoning work of the eternal Son of God. You know, every elect child of God, their standing before God in the Lord Jesus Christ is just and holy and without blame. There's nothing that can be laid to the charge of one of God's little children because Jesus Christ paid for all of their sins on the cross of Calvary. I talked to a person here recently that mentioned to me, well, the person will have to believe. I said, well, is unbelieving a sin? If it's a sin, you just said Jesus paid for all the sins, and we believe that Jesus paid for all of our sin, and if it's not a sin, it cannot be held to your charge. What Jesus did on the cross of Calvary is he paid for all of our sins, and his righteousness has been imputed to us. So when we get to heaven, we will not be stopped at the door, but you'll hear these words, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." But it's through the gospel truth that the born-again child of God, and that gospel truth being declared at the house of God. I mean, if I want to hear the gospel, the house of God's a good place to go and hear the gospel. I mean, I believe I could spend time with some gospel preachers and hear the gospel truth, but it's at the house of God where I hear it declared with boldness and in liberty and blessed of the Holy Spirit. But it's there that I hear that truth about eternal salvation. And it's there that I hear of the evidences that I can look and find in myself. And it's through that I'm able to look with an eye of faith and see my standing before God by what Jesus Christ has done for me. You know, the Apostle John, he said there's two things that his purpose in preaching the gospel. You remember he said there in 1 John chapter 5, he said, "These things write unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "These things that you may know that you have eternal life and that you might believe on the name of the eternal Son of God. John said, my purpose in preaching the gospel is that you would have assurance that you are a born-again child of God and that your trust in the Lord would increase. That was his purpose in preaching the gospel. And it's me at the house of God, us little born-again children of God, that are able to take that truth and see our standing and what a precious blessing and experience it is for the child of God to see that and have rejoicing in his heart and in his experiential life. But not only that, within thy walls we shall stand. There is no place in the world that compares to the house of God to give you a good foundation for your life. You remember there in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, the Lord says, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation of stone. Notice God didn't say I lay it in a great government city. I don't lay it in a place of entertainment. He didn't put it in the theaters. He didn't put it in places of government. No, he put it in the house of God. And there's a foundation in the house of God that we can have to have a standing in our lives. A few weeks ago, I was blessed to perform a wedding for a wonderful couple here in the state of North Carolina. And I met with them a few times before their wedding. And I talked to them about the importance of the house of God to their marriage. The house of God and being in the house of God and worshiping the Lord is important for marriage. It's important for a disciple's life. It's important for the child of God that was to grow in knowledge of the truth. And it will give you foundation in everything that God has called on us to be. Let's go a little further. Verse 3, Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Now, I realize when you think of the city itself, you know, the buildings in the city, the walls, everything maybe being tight and being constructed together. But I want to look at this in more of a spiritual way of there in Jerusalem, things being compact together. This word compact is translated in different ways in the Old Testament. I find there in Exodus chapter 26 and verse 3, it's translated coupled together concerning the curtains of the tabernacle. That means something that's tight and in unity, right? I find there in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 3, when those kings gathered themselves together in that war, the Bible said they were joined together. So when something is compact, it's something that's coupled together, something that's joined together. A very similar word is used in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1 concerning David and Jonathan, that their souls were knit together. So it's there in Jerusalem, this city, this compact together, it's there that we have unity and fellowship. You know, there's many different subjects that we could talk about and disagree on out in the world. You know, I told someone when it comes to the house of God and my fellowship with the Lord, it's not about a college football team. It's not about political ideas. No, our fellowship in the house of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our fellowship in the Lord. And I love what a brother said many years ago about the future of the church. You know, someone said, you know, the kids in the church is the future of the church, and the older people in the church, they're the history of the church. And I disagreed. I said, look, the Lord is the past, present, and future of the church. And if the Lord is the past, present, and future of the church, we have unity in the church. And I have never in my life found any place in this world that has more unity and more fellowship and more continuity than you will find with the Primitive Baptist Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, I've been part of other orders, but I've never in my life witnessed a group that has more unity. I mean, I'm able, as a child of God, to travel to many different states and find people that believe the same thing I believe. I mean, I can go to Arkansas and fellowship with the brothers and sisters there in Arkansas and hear the same thing preached that I hear in Middle Georgia. I'm able to go to Texas and there with the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ in Texas and hear the same thing. And how beautiful it is to see the brethren that dwell together in unity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's there in that house of God that we can see that. Verse 4, whither the tribes go up. Of course, this is referencing in a geographical sense of them traveling up to Jerusalem. But in a spiritual sense, when we go into the house of God, we're going up, brothers and sisters. And you might say, well, the church I go to is kind of down in the valley. Geographically, it may be, but spiritually, it's we're going up. there in Micah chapter 4 is worded almost the same as Isaiah chapter 2. And Micah refers to the time in the last days, which is the last dispensation of time here on this earth, the gospel dispensation, that the mountain of the Lord's house should be established at the top of the mountains, exalted above the hills. And notice this, all nations shall flow unto it. You know, I remember asking my daddy about that verse of scripture about all nations flowing unto it. I said, if this is the top of the mountains, I said, I've never saw anything flow upstream. Everything flows downstream. And daddy said, you know, any old rotten log can flow downstream. He said, but it takes some propulsion and strength to go upstream. And if you're going to go up to that place, you're going to have some propulsion. You're going to have some help from God, some grace. You're going to have some fortitude yourself that I am going up to that place. But when you get up there in that place, you see higher things than what you see in this world. Would you agree with me this evening that when you come to the house of God, that you should find a higher standard of living than what you find out in the world? The house of God should not be like the world. I like what the brother said in times past about Noah's Ark, and he was using Noah's Ark as a type of the church. He said, you know, it was good for the ark to be on the water, but it wasn't good for the water to get in the ark. The church should have a higher standard so that we go up to the house of God. We go up into the house of God, and I am glad that the house of God is up from this world, because I get tired of the darkness and the sadness and the absolute immorality of this world. This world has gotten to a place that they call evil good and good evil. They call darkness for light and light for darkness and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I mean, when we live in a time when people didn't understand the difference in a man and a woman, that is twisted, brothers and sisters. That is perverted. And I'm not wanting to see people perverted. I don't want to see people subverted. I want to see people converted. And the way to be converted in the Lord is let's go up and have a higher standard of thinking, a higher standard of living. Whether the tribes go up. And if we plan to spend time with the Lord, we need to have that, our eye fixed on going up and our self fixed on cleaning ourselves up and cleansing ourselves from the filthiness of this. Of the flesh, as Paul would say there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, that we could have fellowship with the Lord in the kingdom of God. And to the testimony of the Lord, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Another reason I'm glad to go into the house of God, I'm glad to be there with some people that give thanks to the Lord. I mean, we live in a world of entitlement, and it seems like it gets worse every day, and it affects us. You know, if you live in the world, it's going to affect you. When we come to the house of God, I'm glad to be in the presence of people that are just thankful for all that they have. You know, and if we don't have anything material in this world, if we've got a hope in our heart, hey, then we'll be in heaven in immortal glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a lot to be thankful for. We can rejoice in that no matter what we're going through in this world. I mean, I love to go to the house of God and listen to people sing those hymns unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the hymn, "The Lord has been so good to me." I remember going to church one Sunday many years ago in the state of Georgia, and there was a sister there that went through some just severe health issues and some trouble. She wanted to sing that hymn, "The Lord has been so good to me." And I thought how precious it is to see this sister that's went through so many health issues be so thankful for what God has done for her, that she'd select that hymn, "The Lord has been so good for me." How about you, brothers and sisters? Could you look back in your life and look at your present situation and say, "The Lord has been so good to me, and I am thankful for what I have"? Isn't it good to go up to the house of God and be in the presence of people that can give you that example? I mean, I've had times in my life where I went through some complaining, and I would come to the house of God, and wow, I would just be ashamed of my complaining. And being in the presence of those people that were giving thanks to the Lord, and what it's been a blessing to me, and it's a blessing to the other children of God. Verse 5, "For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David." You know, when you come to the house of God, that's where we should find true righteous judgment. You know, it doesn't matter what the world says is right, brothers and sisters. I'm more concerned what the church says is right and wrong. Those that have fellowship and those that are close to the Lord. Have you ever read through 1 Corinthians? I think there's two times there in 1 Corinthians. One is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, and one there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where the Apostle Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. There was a phrase that was known there in Corinth that all things are lawful for a Corinthian. The Apostle Paul was saying, you know, here in this place we live, and in this world we live in, it seems like all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable for me as a church member. The Apostle Paul is trying to convince them to understand it doesn't matter what the government of this city and what the people of this city says is right. We should be more concerned with what the church says is right than what the world says is right. And when I come to the house of God, we find that judgment. And look, brothers and sisters, I'll be honest with you. I do not want to spend time in any jail in the United States of America, but I would rather spend time in jail than to have my name excluded from the membership of the New Testament Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm more concerned with my membership in the church than I am concerned about following what the world would say would be right. I think the Apostle Paul believed that. That's the reason he was willing to be put in jail for standing up for the truth. That's the reason the Apostle John was willing to be banished to the Isle of Patmos. That's the reason the Apostle Peter was willing to suffer what he suffered. He respected God and the New Testament church. You know what's wrong with the world today? The world is affecting the church more than the church is affecting the world. Let's go a little further. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Pray for the peace at Jerusalem. Another thing that I'm glad about going into the house of the Lord is I find people that are praying people. Yeah, I love to be around people that like to talk to the Lord. You know, Brother Jeb, he prayed tonight, and the prayer was so sincere. And when you listen to that prayer, it's like Brother Jeb is just talking to the Lord. I want to be around people that pray, and I am glad and happy to be around people that pray. I remember I heard a story once about a church service, and there was a little lad that was in the church service, and the church service was over, and one of the deacons went by and found a note, and he opened up the note, and it was about 9 or 10 names that was on that note, and it was just people that this little lad knew that had trouble in their life, people he went to school with, teachers, family members. Well, the deacon was concerned, you know, he may have left something behind that he needed, some notes. So he went to the little boy's house, and his mom and dad came to the door, and he said, hey, I think your son left this on the pew. And the little boy said, no, those are just people I wanted everyone to pray for, and I didn't know any place better to leave it than at the house of God. He left that note with those names there in the house of God, believing that those people would pray, and were close to God. You know, when I think about my life and me standing in need of every day, I stand in need of God. I don't know anyone better that I could ask to pray for me than those in the house of my Lord, those that walk close to him, those that talk to him on an everyday basis. Notice this, they pray for peace. You know, peace is something that's very different also that you'll find out in the world. Out in the world, you find a lot of turmoil. Out in the world, you find a lot of tribulation, but we come to the house of God and we find peace. And I'm happy about that and finding peace in the house of God. I heard a story once about a pastor that preached on peace one Sunday, and a man and his son, they left the church and was driving home, and someone pulled out in front of him on the road, and he got all upset and was shaking his fist and yelling at the guy driving the other car. And the boy reminded his dad of the sermon. He said, now let's try to remember a word from our pastor, Dad. Remember a word from the pastor about peace. And I love coming to the house of God when I can just enjoy that peace there in the house of the Lord. It makes me glad to have that opportunity to get away from the world and be in a place of peace and be in a place that instructs me to take my eye and put it in a place where I can find more peace. And the Bible teaches us there in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, we'll close with this. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose eyes have stayed upon thee. May the Lord richly bless you to hold these truths in your heart, to meditate upon these and be glad always when you have just an opportunity, just the privilege of going into the Lord's house to worship him and fellowship with the saints.